gonna see our true colors shining through. I see our true colors, and that's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show your true colors, true colors, true colors. Well, this week I was in another state, and I dialed in the address of the location I was trying to go to, and my GPS sent me way out of the way. I mean, what was supposed to be like a 5 or 6 minute drive became like a 15 or 20 minute drive. And I don't know if you've ever had that happen to you before, but come on, what is wrong with the GPS? Kind of reminds me of that scene from The Office a few seasons ago where Michael is driving in the car and the GPS is barking out orders, and Dwight's in the front seat, and he says, "No, don't go there, don't go there." And Michael says, "Why not? The GPS said," and he drives into the lake. Did you guys see that? Pretty awesome. Sometimes the GPS will lead you the wrong direction, you know? And even when the GPS gives the right direction, I still get lost, okay? I am directionally challenged, and God left part of that gene out of my brain, you know, when I was created. So I get lost everywhere, GPS or no GPS. Just have a little higher likelihood of getting to where I'm going. But you know, God has given us an amazing GPS in the Bible. The Bible, the Word of God, is a roadmap for life. It is to give us directions on how to make decisions, how to live, how to think, how to believe, what to do, how to respond. And today I want to share with you a powerful message today about the authority and the influence and the power of the Word of God, the Scripture, the Bible. So I'm going to invite you to take those notes there in your worship folder and to pull those out. We've been in this series called True Colors. We've been talking about some of the distinctives about the Edge Church. And one of the distinctives and one of the really unique things about our church is that we love to follow the Scripture. We love to follow the Bible. We are a church of the Bible. Somebody says, "Ryan, how do you make decisions? How is the church led? How do we operate here at the Edge Church?" We do our very, very best to understand what the Bible says and then to apply that to our particular context. You know, the Bible is truly an amazing book. It was written over a period of about 1,500 years by more than 40 different authors on three continents and three different languages. And yet there was all one theme. It was written by politicians and statesmen and farmers and peasants and musicians and poets and military generals. Those were the people that God used to write down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit what we know today as the Bible. And Moses wrote while he was in the wilderness, and Jeremiah wrote while he was in a dungeon, and Luke wrote the book of Acts while he was traveling. So many different contexts and so many different individuals that God used in the process. And yet, no book gets even close to the Bible in terms of total sales. And no person has had more books written about them than the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible is just truly a fascinating book. It really is. And today I want to take us a little deeper so we can understand why the Bible is so relevant and how it speaks to the world that we live in, even thousands of years later. One of the reasons is the Bible speaks to so many different topics, so many different subjects. Let me give just a few examples. The Bible speaks of marriage, divorce, remarriage, adultery, sex, lust, greed, guilt, materialism, generosity, healing, hope, forgiveness, parenting, prayer, friendship, pride, obedience, heaven, hell, lying, murder, suicide, rape, fear, miracles, love, hate, money, criticism, creation, government, submission, rebellion, peace, leadership, joy, discontentment, sacrifice, delayed gratification, patience, faithfulness, enjoying life, self-control, disasters, injustice, demons, angels, discipleship, disciplines, fasting, honor, mercy, care for the poor, handling wealth and family. And I think I need to take a deep breath. The Bible speaks to so many different things. Not just a few things. And I can guarantee you today, there's no issue you're facing this morning that the Bible does not have a word for you today.
God's Word just speaks to so many different things. It's really wonderful, isn't it? One of the reasons why there's so much confusion in the world today is because too many people are following too many sources of truth, too many sources of decision making. And God has given us this primary source, the Scripture, the Bible. But a lot of people make decisions a myriad of different ways. Some people use the survey approach. You know? Let me survey what's going on. Let me take a little poll of my neighborhood. Let me ask what my friends say. The survey approach, the Gallup poll approach, you know, the Zogby approach, if you will. Let's just kind of find out what's going on, man, and what's trending on Twitter. Then I'll make my decision based on kind of what everybody is doing. If you guys ever watched the show The Office, Jim is the poller. Whenever there's conflict in the office, he's taking a poll. We got to decide how we're going to resolve this issue. Everybody raise their hand. He's the democratic process guy, isn't he? A lot of people live their life that way. Other people, it's not about the polls. It's really about tradition. How have we always done it before? Because if we've always done it that way, then certainly that's the way we need to continue to do it, right? In the office, this is Dwight. Dwight grew up on a beet farm. Man, he has an Amish family. All about the tradition. And you know, in a lot of churches, tradition drives everything. Now, I'm not saying that some traditions are not good. Certainly they can be. Traditions can be good. But listen, we don't worship traditions. We don't follow traditions just because that's what we've always done. In fact, at the Edge Church, we love to just change things just to change them sometimes. Just to keep us out of the rut. You know, of the mundane and the routine, because we all gravitate towards what is safe and predictable, don't we? And sometimes God's leading us in new ways and new directions. And I mean, following Jesus is never boring or the same. It's always evolving. It's always changing. It's always flowing, isn't it? So tradition. Many people make decisions just based on tradition. In Mark chapter 7, verse 8 says, the words of Jesus, you have replaced the commands of God with the traditions of men. And that's what Jesus said to the religious establishment there in Israel. He said, you guys, listen, you worship a tradition, but you forgot about God. For other people, it's not about traditions, it's about reason. What is logical? A plus B equals C. What can fit into this little box? That's how I should make the decision. Let me just think a little harder about this. And sometimes we can go down the road of just becoming rationalistic, you know? What makes the most sense? Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seems right unto man, but in the end leads to death. This is Oscar on The Office. He's the accountant. He prides himself on doing the books even without the computer software. He's very factual, very matter of fact. A lot of times we make decisions just on what is reasonable. What makes sense? But then other times it's not just the reason, it is feelings. We make decisions based on our feelings. How do we feel in the moment? Our feelings are always evolving and changing, and sometimes we feel really good, and sometimes we feel really bad. Sometimes we feel bad, it's just because we had bad sushi the night before, you know? That's not God. And we make decisions sometimes just based on emotions. This is Michael on The Office. Wants everybody to like him. Goes out on a date with a girl, and after the first date, he thinks he's in love. You know? Just always motivated by feelings. Feelings. These things are not all entirely bad, but listen, the Bible is God's standard. The Bible is a much higher standard that God has set for us to follow. These other things can lead us down to the wrong path, but the Bible as the Word of God directing and leading our life will never lead us astray. We need to understand the Bible today more than ever, because we can be fooled by our feelings, we can change our mind, and that's why Judges 21:25, the Bible says, every man that did what was right in his own eyes during the period of the judges. That's exactly what happened. And if you don't hear anything else today, I want you to settle this, that you would accept the Bible as the final authority on every issue for your life. We need a guiding source of truth. We need a foundation upon which to build our lives. Ultimately, that's Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ has been revealed through the Bible. And what a great treasure that we have in the Word of God today. The Bible says in Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is flawless. You know, it is perfect. And one of the reasons I love the Bible is because God used so many different people to help pen the pages of Scripture, all under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But one of the real distinguishing parts of the Bible is it was written by many people. The Bible is 66 smaller books that are put together into one book. And many other religious pieces of literature throughout the history of the world have really just been written by one person. But the beauty of the Bible is that you have all of these different people saying all the same thing. And that is that God is redeeming and loving humanity. And that's what makes it so powerful. It really does. Paul was writing to Timothy about the inspiration of Scripture because if we're really going to make the Bible the centerpiece of truth in our lives, we have to understand, well, how was it originated? I mean, where did we get the Bible to start with, right? And Paul in 2 Timothy is writing to his disciple, Timothy, right before he dies. He's writing from a prison cell. Chapter 3 is his second to last chapter that he would ever write. 2 Timothy is the last book that he wrote. And in that, he's charging Timothy to be committed to the Scripture, to stay faithful to God's Word. Notice what he says. And now, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through Christ, through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. What does that mean? The Bible says the Word of God, the Scripture is God-breathed. It is God-breathed. It's a really interesting term in the Bible. The Bible is inspired by God. Sometimes we talk about inspiration, we think about all kinds of other things, but to be inspired by God is something that's so much different. God used human personalities, and He used human people, but the Holy Spirit dictated and led and directed people to pin down the very words of God. So what we have in the Bible is not just the opinions of people or the ideas of individuals, but it is something that God led by the Holy Spirit. And as God led these specific individuals, they articulated and put together these verses and chapters of the Bible that we know today as the Holy Scripture. God breathed the words. Okay, not just the big concepts, but the specific words that we know today as the Bible. It's been inspired by God. That's why we can trust it. Somebody says, why is the Bible any different from any other book? Because the Bible has been inspired by God. It has that divine authorship, if you will. Now, God used people, and I mentioned that a minute ago. There's no doubt that God used people's education levels. If you read the letters of the Apostle Paul, who was extremely educated, and you read the letters of Peter, the fisherman, who didn't do so well in school, you will see two totally different structures. I'm talking about grammar here, grammatical structures. Peter writes very simply, and Paul writes very scholastically and intellectually. That's who they were. God used that. So we're not talking about people going into trances and just writing stuff down in a weirdo state. But what we are talking about is that the Holy Spirit led and directed these individuals to write the words of Scripture. And that's why it's so important. Now listen, if we don't understand that, then the Bible is just another book. And why should we follow it? Why should we believe it? Why should we trust it? Why should we study it today? It was inspired independent of feelings and ideas. And you know, my job as lead pastor of the Edge Church is not so much to tell you all my opinions. I mean, I've got lots of opinions about all kinds of things. But my opinions are really not what matters. Ultimately, what God says is what matters. And my job is to take the Scripture and to bring out of it the meaning and application and to share that with you. So sometimes people ask me what my opinion is, and I'm happy to share my opinion. But what really matters is what does God say? That's the real deal. So the Word of God, the Scripture, is the guiding force, the guiding document, if you will, the guiding belief system in which we build our foundation. And if I say something against the Bible, you know, or something that the Bible doesn't teach, and I get little horns and my eyes turn red and I have big fangs that pop out, you know, and I start to growl, don't believe me. Okay? Go with the Bible. Don't go with me. If I ever say anything, it's contradictory. Now, I study, you know, and I work really hard to try and understand what the Bible's saying. But if I ever say something that's against the Bible, go with the Bible, not with me. And I'll tell you, because it's the Word of God. So our job is to understand the Bible, to figure out what it's saying. Now, some Scripture is more interesting and some is easier to understand than other parts of the Bible. But they're all inspired. Notice 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And what is the Bible for? You know, why do we have the Bible? Well, Paul talks about that. He says, first of all, it is to make you wise for salvation. Okay, that's the first reason. The Bible was given to us so that we would know Jesus, that we would understand who Jesus is, that we would understand that it was His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection, and faith in Him that would give us new life and give us eternity with God. So it's primarily given to us so that we could know the heart of God, that we could understand the gospel, the fact that Jesus came, He died, He rose again, and that through faith in Him we could have new life in Christ. That's the main purpose. That's the story of the Bible. But then he goes on and he says, it's not just to make you wise for salvation, but it is God-breathed and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. In other words, the way we live. The Bible is here to show us our need for salvation and to also to show us how to live. How do we make tough decisions? How do we make decisions that are based on and in sync with the will and way of God? And I'll tell you this. We live in such a unique era in the 21st century where we can really understand the Bible. I mean, so many people throughout history have not been able to read the Bible. We have a great privilege. In fact, the Bible is more available today in the 21st century than at any time in the history of Christendom. You know, we can get online and read the Bible. Every morning I get a devotional and Bible reading scriptures emailed to me. That's incredible. That's amazing. In fact, in the ancient times, many people didn't even know how to read, first of all. And even if they did know how to read, the printing press hadn't been invented yet. And so to even have a copy of one page of the Scripture would be such a treasure and a delight, because to translate a Bible would cost so much money to have a scribe sit down and translate and to copy, you know, all the pages of Scripture. It was amazing. The Bible wasn't even written in English until maybe the 1500s or 1600s. One guy named John Wycliffe in the 1300s, he was a priest, he got this idea. Wouldn't this be awesome if I could translate the Bible into English? He said, all these people come to my church, he was a priest, and they speak English, but I'm talking to them in Latin, and they have no idea what's going on. Wycliffe started to translate. And you know what they did to him? They arrested him and burned him for translating the Bible. That's crazy, isn't it? Another guy named William Tyndale, he got much further in his translation of the English Bible. Wycliffe just kind of got started. Tyndale almost completed it in the 1500s, and they did the same to him. Why, you ask? Why would somebody want to stop somebody else from reading the Bible? Because throughout history, it's been about control. If the only thing you know about the Bible is what she told you or what he told you, then you're ultimately controlled. But if you have the Bible for yourself, then you can read and understand it as well. And so there was a huge fight just to even have the Bible translated into modern languages. And thank God today we do have that. What an awesome opportunity for us to even have the Bible on our iPhone or to have multiple hard copies in our home is such a treasure and a delight, because many people have not had the opportunity to read and to study and to know the Bible like you do. But listen, all that doesn't matter if all our Bible study and all of our Bible knowledge is just that. God has given us the Bible to change our lives. Not just to memorize a bunch of facts and Bible trivia and, you know, names, dates, and places and geography and all that stuff. And all that has a place, but ultimately, God wants to impact your life. And that's what the Bible is all about. So it's not just about knowing more stuff, but it's about learning it and then actually doing it as well. So we had to bring our Bible to church. In fact, it just reminds me, all the Bibles under the chairs, those are, if you don't have a Bible or you need a Bible, just take one of those. That's okay. We have plenty. It's not stealing, okay? The ushers won't stop you at the door, okay? And ask you to give that back. You just take it. That's okay. We'd be glad for you to have a Bible. We've got plenty. No problemo. Okay? Just take a Bible and it'll be great. And just begin to read that. Now, we forget about 95% of all that we hear within the first 72 hours. By the way, that's totally depressing for every pastor, okay? Because we study really hard. But the average person remembers about 5%. But listen, if you take notes, that number drastically increases. So the reason that we give you note sheets in your worship folder is not just because we're trying to print more stuff, but because we want to help you hear the Word of God and then put it into practice. Okay? And whatever you write down, you will remember more than what you just hear alone. Okay? So God wants us to be hearers of the Word and doers. Now some people say, oh Ryan, okay, this is so cool. You guys got all your little Bibles. But I got a question for you. Hasn't the Bible been altered and twisted around and changed and stuff over history? After all, I saw the Da Vinci Code, you know? I know about this stuff. You know, what's interesting, in 1947, the greatest archaeological discovery of the 20th century took place. A little Bedouin shepherd boy took a rock and he threw it into a cave and he heard glass shatter. And what he found in that one cave was the first part of a massive discovery known as the Dead Sea Scrolls. Ryan, what in the world is going on with the Dead Sea Scrolls? Well, what's amazing is that they found copies of every Old Testament book except the book of Esther, 38 out of 39. That's pretty good. And they had been stored in this ancient library in these caves in this arid desert area for 2,000 years. I mean, can you imagine that? And so in the 1940s, scholars began to take these ancient Hebrew manuscripts that had been stored for 2,000 years, and they began to compare them to the Bible as we know it today. And you know what they discovered? The Bible we have today is more than 99% accurate as to what it was in all of the Dead Sea Scrolls. So people that say that the Bible has been twisted and manipulated and changed and contorted and whatever else are not good students of history. Because the Dead Sea Scrolls have confirmed 38 out of 39 books of the Old Testament. It's pretty incredible to think about, isn't it? And you know, if that's true, and the Bible's accurate and it's been inspired by God, then it ought to change our lives. We ought to do everything we can to follow what it says. And the Bible speaks to so many different areas. I mean, as a parent, the Bible speaks. Notice the context of 2 Timothy chapter 3 is Paul speaking to Timothy, and he says in verse 14 and 15, "But continue in what you learned and be convinced of it, because how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which have been able to make you wise," verse 15. Paul says, listen, Timothy, you heard about the Bible and about God and about the prophets and all that stuff is a little bitty baby. And you do a little careful study there, you understand that Paul's Timothy's mother and Timothy's grandmother were people of faith. And they begin to talk to Timothy about the Lord even when he was just a little squirt, just a little infant. You know, sometimes we wonder, do our kids understand? Man, kids understand a lot. And it's never too early to start talking to our kids about the Lord. When a current event comes on the news, we ought to be talking with our kids about that in light of the Scripture, right? A biblical perspective on whatever's going on in the world. We have an awesome opportunity as parents. And you know, the greatest legacy that you'll have with your kids is not your inheritance, but it's your faith. Imparting your faith into the life of your children is the most important decision of every parent. Sometimes as parents, we just don't talk about God. You know, we believe that we have faith, but I don't want to push that on my kids. Listen, man, you're not being pushy. You're just sharing what's changed your life. Just share what God's doing in your heart. You know, we love to read the Bible at our household. You know, and I've got two little kids. Zane will be 5 in a couple of weeks, and Bryn's 3. And so we read the Bible at night, you know, most nights before bed. And it's a great stall tactic for my kids. You know, if I ever tell them to go to bed and we didn't read the Bible, but Daddy, we need to read the Bible, you know. It's amazing how religious kids get at bedtime. Incredible. But you know, I don't even care. I'm just so glad that they, even if it's just to stay up 5 more minutes, you know, I'm just so glad that they want to hear and to learn about some of the great characters and the great stories of the Bible. And that's the opportunity of every parent, man, to be teaching and training kids and talking with kids about the Lord. It's so exciting to do. And we ought to be teaching kids from infancy forward. And that's why we do such a great job with our kids' ministry here at the Edge Church, because we want to create a culture and an environment where kids are excited about God. But listen, you're with your kids 7 days a week. We just have your kids 1 hour a week. And if you think that our children's ministry, as great as it is going to impart all of the spiritual wisdom into your kid in 1 hour, you're crazy. It starts in the home. It really does. The Bible goes on, it talks about, let me list off a bunch of things here. Being successful. Somebody says, I want to have a successful life. Joshua 1:8. This is for every business person. You got to write this down. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. He's talking about the Bible. But meditate on it day and night. That is to reflect on it, to think about it seriously. So that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then you will prosper and be successful. I think it's the only verse in the Bible that talks about being successful like that. He says, learn the Bible and then do the Bible. And if you learn the Bible and do the Bible, then you will be prosperous and successful. So see, the pursuit of following Christ is to learn everything that God has said and then to put it into practice. Now, a lot of people learn what the Bible says, and then sometimes we don't do what the Bible says, right? It just kind of gets stored up here. We become biblical encyclopedias. So to really be successful in life, we got to learn it, and then we got to go and do it. By the way, I'm starting a series on the whole book of Joshua this summer, in the next few weeks. I'm really fired up about it. We'll come out and camp out in Joshua chapter 1 a little bit more during that time. The Bible speaks about breaking addictions. You know, it's the power of Jesus that helps us break the bondage of sin in our lives. Paul said, why do I do what I don't want to do? It's the power of the resurrected Christ that helps us to overcome the habits, the addictions, the struggles that so much entangle us. You know? And the Bible speaks to that. Finding significance, finding your purpose in life. You know? You're not an accident. God created you for a reason, for a purpose. Every person here has a purpose. And God's given you a platform. You may look at your life and say, Ron, I don't have a platform. I'm just a whatever. You know? Tim Tebow has a great platform, doesn't he, as a Christian? He has a great platform because he sees football as a platform for him to talk to people about the Lord, not just so he can be a great football player. Now, you may not have a best-selling book, and you may not be on television, and you know people may not wear jerseys with the name with your name on the back, but listen, everybody has a platform. You have a platform as a business person, as a neighbor, as a mom, as a friend, as a family member. You have a platform, and God wants you to use that platform to talk to people about the greatest thing of all, and that's Jesus Christ. That's being successful, man. It really is. That's finding significance. And Jesus said, "You have, if anyone's to follow me, he should first deny himself and take up his cross, and then he'll be my disciple." So finding significance. How about developing healthy relationships? You know, the Bible speaks about this, and I got to laugh just a little bit kind of on the inside. Do you guys ever chuckle on the inside? You know? I have to chuckle a little bit on the inside, because a lot of times I go over to Barnes & Noble and I love to read. I'm like a crazy reader. My Kindle is like crack cocaine for me, you know. Love that thing. I'm reading tons of books. And you know what? Many books today that are business books, leadership books, success books, whatever you want to call it, are just biblical principles without the references. Have you guys ever noticed that? You're reading something, you're like, oh, I think Paul said that a long time ago. Or, you know, that sounds like King Solomon, you know? It's interesting. Stephen Covey's got this new book out called The Third Alternative. And people are going crazy. This is a groundbreaking book. It's so awesome. It's going to rock your world. You're going to be an amazing business leader, make millions of dollars. Wow! You know? And the whole premise of the book is, it's not your way. It's not my way. It's our way. You know, Paul called that mutual submission in Ephesians chapter 5. You know, he said we ought to esteem others better than ourselves. Love one another. You know, those things have been in the Bible. God's been saying that a long, 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 long time. And I'm so glad that it's made its way into, you know, contemporary literature and books and magazines and things like that. But God has been saying so many of these great things from the Bible for many, many years. What about managing finances? You know, sometimes we read about financial management and we're like, oh my gosh, I shouldn't max out my credit cards. That's incredible. Solomon said that thousands of years before. You know, that when we give, we're generous. You know, it does something in our hearts with our resources, with our money. God said that a long time ago. There's nothing new about that. But it's so profound and it's so true. And you know what? The wisdom of God is contained in the Scripture, and that's what you need for your life to make every decision. You need to know what God says. Not just what the polls say, and not just what your friends tell you, and not what you've always done before and wherever you've been. But let me ask you a question. What does God say about that issue that you're facing? Healthy living. You know, the Bible teaches that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we should take care of the temple. You know, we should take care of our personal health. That's a biblical concept, an idea. Wow. It's amazing, isn't it? It is truly amazing how much the Bible speaks to contemporary issues even thousands of years later. And the only way that the Bible could continue to be relevant through all of these generations of people is that it is the inspired Word of God. So that's our decision today. Our decision today is, are we going to move from setting the Bible on the shelf to imparting it into our heart and our lives? And when we do so, that's where God does amazing things in our lives today. So let's not just be hearers of God's word, let's be doers. And as we're driving down the road of life, we'll be following God's GPS. God will not lead us astray. He will not lead us the wrong direction. We can always count on Him when we follow and do what He says today. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. God, thank You today for Your word, for Your truth. And God, our desire really is to follow You. I pray You give us courage and faith and hope today. Because, Lord, sometimes following You is difficult. But God, that's our desire. That's our passion. Teach us what it means to know You and to follow You all the days of our life. God, that's truly our desire. Give us courage and faith. In Jesus' name, amen. And I see Your true colors shine.